It is 8:43 and staying with sport now. We've been looking this week at the challenges facing the GAA in this country. Yesterday we heard how housing shortages and an ageing population in Cork City are leading to player shortages in the big city clubs, but clubs in towns like Middleton in East Cork are then thriving because more younger families are moving there. Today we focus on Dublin and look at Offaly. Our Gaelic Games correspondent Marty Morrissey is with us now in the studio. Marty, thanks for joining us again. What are the difficulties facing the clubs in Dublin at the moment?
Well, you think with a great county like Dublin that won six in a row and won Leinster Championship, whatever it was, 12 years ago in the hurling, that they're a very successful county. But then when you peel it back, they too have problems. It's a different problem to South Kerry in the sense that numbers is a problem in South Kerry. In Dublin, it's facilities. And less than 30% of the GAA clubs in Dublin own their own properties. Nafina, their property, I only learned this, is owned by the Department of Defence, but they have a long lease. And then you put that into perspective, like Coola win All-Ireland club titles in hurling and football. A remarkable achievement.
No pitch.
And no pitch. Yeah. To their great credit, what they achieved was just fabulous. And Raheny is the same. So the Dublin County Board are relying on the goodwill of schools and colleges, but particularly the four local authorities that they borrow and use the facilities for. So, but in fairness to Dublin County Board, they're well aware of it. And Ken O'Sullivan, a very proud Coola man, but chairman of the Dublin County Board, emphasised to me in the report that's going to go out tonight what Dublin are doing, both north side and south side.
We have the numbers, but we don't have the facilities. So the County Board is investing in two huge facilities, community hubs. We have Hollystown in North Dublin, which we hope to go to break ground next March. And that will give us four pitches, including ancillary facilities. And we will have the same in Spawell about 2 years later after that.
That's Ken O'Sullivan there, the chairman of Dublin GAA. And Marty, the Dublin commuter belt then, that has expanded greatly in recent years, population boom there. How has that affected the clubs in the counties around Dublin?
Well, the funny thing is that when you do look at the transfers between Dublin and other counties in Leinster, it's about even, because I would have expected before that a lot of players are coming into Dublin and transferring. But they're roughly the same. But when the players in Dublin move out, they're moving to Meath, to Gavin's country. They're moving to Kildare. But I was intrigued by Offaly, because to me Offaly is one of the great counties. They've achieved incredible success. When you think of the Lowrys and the Derbys and the Martin Furlongs and all these people over the years, small county. But they're now part, Eden Derry is a growing town, and it's 56 kilometres from Dublin. So it is part of the Dublin commuter belt. And I was watching Primetime last night on the traffic problems with the M50. And the population is slow growing. In Offaly, unlike Meath and Kildare and Louth and Wicklow, Offaly seems to be going slow in terms of population growth. It won't reach 100,000 until 2050. And then when people do go, they migrate to Tullamore. You can see Tullamore doing very well at the moment. But in Eden Derry, it's slightly different. But they're also concerned about the birth rate in Offaly, because the birth rate is down. Young couples are moving, as I said, to Dublin. But Colm Cummins, former secretary of the Offaly GAA, put everything into perspective, those two merging trends.
Offaly hasn't really received a huge amount of population growth in recent years, and the projections state that it'll take us to 2050 until we're at 100,000, whilst our neighbouring clubs have experienced rapid population growth. Meath and Kildare, for example, significant growth in recent years, but even closer neighbours like Westmeath and Laois, they're now beginning to get close to 100,000 population. So in terms of us competing and remaining competitive, we'll have to work really hard into the future. And our rural clubs, who are already becoming under pressure, are going to feel that even more so in the next 10 years.
And Marty, then, how can counties like Offaly, which you say has a much smaller population than Dublin, how can they compete with the 1.4 million strong population in the capital then?
It is going to be difficult, as Colm said, and the volunteer element to this is going to have to be very powerful. And indeed, even in sponsorship and gaining money, there's a huge difference between what Dublin can achieve and what Offaly can achieve within their own market. And they have to do a lot of fundraising and a lot of goodwill. And they need the success of the county. They need the camogie team, the ladies football team, the men's team, all doing well, because success breeds success and it breeds money. But it is difficult. And Michael Dygden, former chairman of the Offaly County Board, has done great work over the last number of years. And he put it also gave me a perspective how difficult it is for the faithful county who are doing great work locally.
You have a level playing field as as much as that the GAA give the same amount of money to every county, which I don't agree with. I've always argued this, that there should be more money for dual counties, etc. Sponsorship and gates are your main and fundraising are your main income streams. And Dublin have way more sponsorship. They can obviously have way more income from fundraisers, etc. as well. So it's very, very difficult to compete. But you have to keep doing your best. You have to keep attracting people. But it's very, very difficult. And as the years go on, it's going to get harder.
That's Michael Dignan there. Marty, how are the demographic changes then that we've been speaking about over the last couple of days? How are they going to change the inter-county championship then as we know it? We've been focusing on clubs, but it's going to have a knock-on effect for counties.
100%, Justin, because as Colm Collins said there, there is an imbalance between the rural clubs in Offaly and the urban clubs in Offaly. The urban clubs seem to be growing. It's the same at intercounty level because we're going to have over 2 million here within the Dublin or the Dublin commuter belt. And the Dublin commuter belt goes from Drogheda all the way down to Goree. And if that movement eastwards is so significant, does that change the way the intercounty structure is going to be? Will it, like, will the intercounty championships remain the same in 10 years' time? Mm. The GAA is evolving and changing, and there is going to be an announcement tomorrow about, they've been looking at the very thing that we've been looking over the last couple of days. So that will be interesting. But let me stick with the intercounty for a moment. Is the intercounty scene going to change? Are we going to have, like we have amalgamations for clubs? Is it going to be necessary for counties in rural Ireland to amalgamate? I'm exaggerating maybe slightly at the moment. But do you know what? You know where I'm going with it? Mm-hmm. That we just don't know where this intercounty scene is going to go. And is the infrastructures of the management, administrative, the county boards that we've had since the 19th century, end of 19th century, beginning of 20th century, is it suitable in the 21st century of Ireland, or has it gone past its sell-by date? In other words, do the GAA have to look at both the inter-county structures and indeed the administration structures over the next couple of years? Dr. Peter Horgan spoke to me, but first, Mark Duncan.
I think everything has to change in the GAA. I think in the coming years, the administrative and organisational structures we developed in the late 19th and early 20th century are going to be completely ill-suited to the Ireland of the 21st century. And of course that means competition structures have to change. It also means our approaches to club development have to change, how we go about growing our games, and of course where we allocate our resources going forward also. At various points in the GAA's history, it's been actually remarkably adept at kind of shifting or responding to changing societal needs and societal norms, right? I think the demographic challenge is of a different order of magnitude, and how it responds to it will kind of address whether the GAA is in the future, as it has been in the past, integral to the kind of social and community fabric of the country.
We're looking at this and we're trying to understand how it affects us, and also how we can look at our own rules, regulations, policies and procedures. But there's no doubt that it requires a huge level of support from government, both local level and national level. And that is something that we will be asking for in the future.
And change is coming, Marty.
The one thing that the GAA are good at is evolving and changing. They might have moved slowly over the past decades ago, but now they're fast moving enough. So I wonder, will it be that they'll allow county boards to run instead of 15 against 15, which is the traditional, it might be 13 against 13, depending on your geographical location. So it will be interesting to see what the committee that Jarla Burns established 18 months ago, which will be announced tomorrow, what they're going to come up with.
We'll watch that closely. Marty Morrissey, our Gaelic Games correspondent, thank you very much. It's 8:51. Back with more next.